In a logo, white handwritten letters scrawl across a blue background spelling Samuel Goldwyn. Printed words appear under the name Samuel Goldwyn Films. Now, in blue and pink lettering, a title appears over a dark background, Blind Dating. Now, a low sun shines golden light over a waterside town. A trim, short-haired man steps onto a high ridge, overlooking the scene.
There's no doubt that when I was a kid, I was what you would call different.
At a park, a boy runs downhill.
That's me, Danny Valdisecki, followed by my loving family.
His parents and another boy follow.
They're always trying to help.
Danny waves his arms.
Always trying to save me from myself.
He dashes over our family's picnic blanket, and food goes flying. Danny runs into a tree, knocking himself senseless. Danny's family and the picnickers huddle around the boy. His auburn-haired mother gently lifts his head.
Sweetie, talk to me. Are you all right?
Looks like roadkill.
I'm okay.
Way to go, asshole.
Lorenzo!
She smacks her other son's head.
My mom was the kind of person whose love could kill you if you weren't careful. I guess she blames herself because I was born 3 months premature.
On a sidewalk, she brings Danny a white cane.
I was just in a hurry to get out. I'm always in a hurry.
Now, Danny takes an apple from a produce stand.
Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Now the brothers fish with their father. On a baseball field, Danny's father helps him hold a bat.
Danny, switch your hands.
Dad, can I hit?
No, it's Danny's turn. Here we go. All right, I'm going to pull this thing out of the ball. It's going to make that noise. When you hear it, whack it.
His father pitches. Danny swings and misses.
You suck!
His father separates the grappling boys.
My dad was cool. He never worried like my mom. He knew I didn't want to go to blind school, so he sent me to normal school.
On a train.
And he let me and my brother visit him at work.
Now! That's a blind kid driving a train!
Larry, my brother, only 2 years older than me, was a boy with a mission. He took it upon himself at an early age to teach me about life.
Larry offers Danny dog poo. A little girl watches.
Remember the last time?
You keep out of this. This candy's not for little girls. This candy's only for men. Come on, Danny, take a piece.
Danny smells a piece and frowns.
It's dog shit again.
Now Danny, Larry, and two other boys watch TV.
And as we grew up, Larry's life lessons continued.
Larry. What's happening? She died.
Their mom enters.
She.
Renzo!
She covers Danny's eyes.
Partendo. And in front of Danny!
What's the problem? He can't see nothing.
God can see!
Needless to say that by the time I was a young man, I needed help.
Now adult Danny sits in a therapist's office.
Try to be more specific, Danny. Why do you think you feel this way?
I guess I'm just curious, you know? I mean, I run my fingers over my face, but that tells me shit about how I look.
And that matters to you, does it?
Sure, yeah.
She unbuttons her blouse.
You know, even Marie's got these friends and they come by and she's 14 years old. You know, these girls freak me out. I want to know that girls are attracted to me and don't just feel sorry for me, aren't giving me pity. I feel like I'm 12-year-old trapped in a 22-year-old body, you know?
She quietly stands in a bustier and unzips her skirt.
I'm a 22-year-old blind virgin who doesn't know a thing about girls. I at least want to know that I don't look like some kind of monster.
Oh, believe me, Danny. You don't look like a monster.
She drops her skirt by her feet, revealing lacy thigh highs.
Doc, are you naked again?
The therapist shakes her hands out and covers up with her skirt.
Sorry, Danny.
Oh, Doc, you promised you weren't going to do that anymore.
It's just, it's something, a little problem. I'm working on it, though.
Doc, you're one of the smartest people I know, but I think you might be crazier than most of your patients. You know that?
It's just, sometimes I just feel this need to break out, to be free, to be who I really am. I'm sorry, Danny. It will never happen again. I promise.
You said that last time.
I know.
She holds her blouse closed over her chest.
And I'll probably say it again.
You're a kook, you know that? But I love you.
So, where were we?
Now outside.
Okay, so apart from the fact that I got this problem with women, I'm handling things pretty well.
He passes two girls.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, girls.
They watch him as he goes, finishing an apple.
So cute.
At home, Danny's father sings in an armchair. Danny enters and smiles to himself.
Danny?
Yeah, what?
Come on in, your father wants to talk to you.
Danny's mother gravely leads him into the living room and sits on a red sofa by the armchair. A fire crackles in a brick hearth. Danny stands in front of it, facing his parents.
Don't you want to sit down?
No. What's up?
A long-haired teen girl enters.
I say go for it, Danny.
Go for what?
It's too dangerous.
A dark-haired man in a suit enters.
How could you do this to me?
How could I do what to you? What are you talking about?
But it's Danny's big chance.
It's out of the question.
Does somebody want to fill me in on what we're talking about?
You right, stay out
up.
Of it.
Shut up, shut up, shut up, all of you, shut up.
Danny, we got a call from a doctor. Doctor, what was his name?
Perkins.
That wasn't it.
Yeah, it was Perkins.
No, it wasn't. It was something
you
else.
Talked to him on the phone. You
no,
it's
no.
Perkins.
A Dr. Perkins. He said you were maybe going to volunteer for some sort of experimental operation. Maybe can make you see. What's going on here? How come you never said nothing?
Well, I didn't say anything because I haven't volunteered for anything yet.
You don't talk to me about these things anymore?
It's not a big deal.
Yes, this is a very big deal. What's going on?
It's not going to happen. There are risks. You don't know. There could be problems.
Hey, Mom, you want to let him make up his mind for once in his life?
Ma, what if he could see?
Exactly. What if he can
you
see?
You are a guinea, not a guinea pig.
Danny heads for the door.
Oh, where are you going? Come back here.
Come on, Danny.
This is exactly why I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to worry you, Ma. I didn't want to get everybody's hopes up either. You know, I don't even know if I want to go through with this yet.
Danny, it's your call. Whatever you decide to do, we're all behind you.
I know.
Right?
Larry tensely nods and shrugs.
Well, I'm hungry. Ma, how about some dinner?
Later, Danny sits on a bed facing a TV.
You can't be any part of it. Hilda, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problem...
Danny mouths the words along with the movie.
...means in this crazy world is looking at you, kid.
Danny smiles boyishly. Now, a low sun shines on the town. In his room, Danny plays a guitar.
Yo, Danny boy!
Outside, an athletic young man bounces a basketball. Danny opens his window.
Hey, Danny boy!
Jay, what's up?
Hey, man. I got some ballers down the court who swear they got game.
Danny comes out of the house on the second floor, wearing a hooded sweatshirt.
So what do you think? Wanna make some bucks?
Yeah, let's do it.
At the top of the high steps, Danny perches on the railing.
Danny. Are you nuts, Danny?
Danny slides down.
Yo!
He lands on his feet.
That's it, I'm convinced. You are the Batman. How's your sonar?
Good, let's do it.
Now they arrive at a basketball court.
Hey!
A group of guys play.
Hey, you guys. This is the guy I was telling you about. And like I said, if he wins, you guys gotta pay 5-1. It's only fair.
How's he gonna know where the hoop is?
What are you, the handicap police?
Jay hands Danny the ball.
Take a shot, show him.
Danny shoots and misses the basket. The other guys smirk.
Oops.
Ring it, fellas. Yeah. Let's try $10.
$10?
Yeah, that's $50
hey,
if
man,
he wins.
He's blind as a bat. We got this.
Ready?
Danny calmly nods.
All right, see the ball.
One of the guys tosses it over.
Stevie Warner's gotta shoot first.
Jay hands him the ball.
Follow the voice.
Jay steps under the hoop and bats the chain-link basket. Danny shoots and makes it. A red-shirted opponent makes a basket. Jay stands under the hoop.
Danny, follow the voice, data boy.
Danny makes one basket after another.
Time zone. Oh, now that was net, but it's still good.
The red-shirted guy misses.
You guys got an eight.
Danny makes a basket. His opponent misses again. Danny makes another basket and grins. The red-shirted guy misses and hides his face.
You guys got an S.
Danny makes a hook shot.
Don't hurt him.
His opponent tries and misses.
Oh! Almost. You guys lose. Pay up. Here we go.
The guys pay up.
Now we're talking.
Jay and Danny leave.
What is it?
$50, man.
$50.
You are amazed. You know that, right? The way this is going, you're going to have most of my tuition paid.
Yeah, well, think of it as like a basketball scholarship.
I hear that, man. How about you? What's going on with that night law school thing?
Got my first class coming up.
Really?
Yeah.
You ready?
Of course I am, man.
Now the Velda Secchi's barbecue in the backyard.
I'm here to eat, please.
Danny's father sits out sausages. Right. His mother serves steaks.
Gina said if you ask her out, she'll say yes.
Hit me.
I don't think so.
You're so strange. How come you never want to go out with any of my friends?
Leave your brother alone.
Because they're 14,
besides,
Marie.
What could these girls offer him?
What could these... At the time of his life, Ma, that's what they could offer him.
Not everyone is like you, Lorenzo.
That's what you think.
At least now you're in your own apartment, you don't bring him here anymore.
Thank God.
See, this is why I love coming over here.
Danny, you remember that girl? Well, that ass like a coconut, huh? She's laying in the bathtub. He has no idea. He turns on the water. She almost has a heart. Okay, okay.
We're waiting here.
You're right. With you. I'm sorry. Marie, forgive me.
So, Danny, why don't you tell us more about this operation?
Well, let me volunteer first, Pop. What's the hurry?
The doctor said family's important.
Yeah, Ma, it's important to stay out of it.
To give support.
Maybe tomorrow we can drive you there.
No, it's all right. Jay's giving me a ride.
Oh, Jay's got wheels now, huh?
Now, by train tracks, Jay rides a bicycle over a weed-infested asphalt path. Behind him, Danny stands balanced on its rear axle with his cane folded in the back of his waistband.
Let go of my ears!
He rests his hands on Jay's shoulder. As they ride on, Jay turns the bike, tilting it at an angle. Grinning, Danny maintains his balance. Now they ride down a more urban street. Danny covers Jay's eyes.
Danny, what are you doing?
He lowers his hands. They veer up onto a sidewalk. A woman and boy jump out of their way. The friends reach an office building and stop outside the door.
Hold on, Danny.
Made it.
That's wheels, man.
Chicks dig it. Where you at?
Jay leads Danny past reflective windows to a door.
Hey, you gonna be all right to make it home?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Have a going, all right?
All right, bud.
Jay slaps Danny's hand and leaves. Danny enters. In a toy-littered waiting room, two boys wrestle among playing children. Two women and another boy struggle to separate them. In the lobby, Danny finds the waiting room's glass door with his hand and enters.
I thought you told Mom you were going to behave while she was.
He steps on a wheeled toy and falls flat on his back. A young, raven-haired woman rushes to his side.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
A little girl pulls papers off the reception desk.
No!
The woman races to the desk.
Where's Doris?
As Danny stands, she cleans up the papers.
Hey, where's Doris?
Look, what do you want? Can't you see I'm busy?
No, I can't see that you're busy. Can't you see that I'm fucking blind?
Her dark eyes widen.
He said the B word. He said the B word.
She fixes a scrutinizing gaze on him.
What happened to Doris?
She's on vacation.
It's too bad. I liked her.
She sneers at Danny and shakes her head.
What are you staring at?
Now, in an office, a model human head wears sunglasses with a camera on one lens.
Now, the signal from the camera, which is mounted on the glasses, goes directly to a chip, which is implanted in the visual cortex of the brain.
So my eyes are not a part of the process, then?
Absolutely. The camera bypasses them. But, Danny, remember, we don't see with our eyes. We see with our brains. Now, I'd like to tell you that if the operation is successful, you would be able to see like everyone else. Well, that's not going to happen. The best you could hope for is a fuzzy black and white image. Maybe it'll be good enough to keep from bumping into things. Maybe it'll be enough to see a face.
The doctor answers a desk phone.
Yeah? Oh, thank you. Yes, please.
He hangs up.
It's Dr. Evans. I've asked her to join us. I know you know her. You feel comfortable with her. She's going to be a vital member of the team.
Beckoned by Dr. Perkins, Danny's therapist enters. She fiddles with her top button.
Dr. Evans?
Oh, Dr. Perkins.
I'm Rige.
Oh, yes, Danny, that's right. That's, it's my new scent. Do you like it?
Yeah, it suits you. What do you think, Doc?
Dr. Perkins shifts his wide-eyed gaze.
Smells good. Dr. Evans is going to be responsible for putting together the psychological reports of all the potential candidates for this operation.
I got no problem with that.
Good. So then all we really need to know that if the FDA gives us the green light, can we put you down as a potential candidate?
Danny shifts in his seat.
Oh, you can take your time, Danny. I mean, this is a very important decision.
Now in the hall.
So, do you have someone meeting you?
No, I'll get a cab if you can point me in the right direction.
Sure, well, you know how to get out of the building, right?
Got to memorize that.
Okay, you hang to the left. Go about 15 paces, you should reach the street, and a cab should be waiting there.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I can take him, Dr. Perkins. I'm leaving now.
I think I can manage Doris.
The name's Lisa.
Danny leaves. Lisa faces Dr. Evans.
Why doesn't he use his cane?
Because he doesn't think of himself as blind.
Danny's therapist steps away. Outside, Danny stands at a corner. Lisa walks past him.
Good night, Doris.
She pauses, yielding a smile.
Good night, Danny.
Lisa crosses the street toward an arriving bus. Danny's full lips curl up. On the bus, Lisa takes a seat. Gazing out the window, she sees Danny raising his hand in a perfectly timed wave.
Taxi!
Nighttime. Lisa approaches a restaurant. Large, arched windows gleam with small, multicolored panes. A blue neon sign reads, Crimson Elephant. Lisa enters.
Lisa, you're late. They're waiting for you.
Arvin's here.
And Mr. Butt.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
I don't think you should say that to your future husband.
As Lisa heads for the seated group, a boy blocks her path.
You're in big trouble.
Oh, take a hike, Robbie. Or I'll tell them what I found under your bed.
At the table, a dashing man eyes his watch.
Arvin.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm sorry I'm late.
It's okay.
I apologize for keeping you waiting.
Hindi nahi bolti?
Why? Do you not speak English?
Of course I speak English.
Aur main hindi bolti.
I see your daughter does not follow our traditions of respect for elders and punctuality.
For my daughter, punctuality is an aspiration.
Yeah.
And respect has to be earned.
Arvin's parents share a concerned look. Now, at a college campus, Danny folds up his cane in a hallway. Entering a small lecture hall, he carefully feels his way down carpeted steps to the front of the room. He trips over a student's knees, knocking a laptop over as he falls.
Watch, man! It's my computer! Sorry, I didn't see it.
Just pick it up and give it to me.
Relax, I'm looking for it.
Just give it back.
Now Danny rides in a limo's front seat. Larry drives.
You know you're blind, Danny. I mean, you're gonna find out sooner or later. It's none of their business. Besides the fact he was rude, I should have smacked his face.
You didn't tell me he was rude to you.
Yeah, he was rude.
You want me to turn around right now? I'll go beat the shit out of him.
No, killer, maybe later.
All right. All right. Okay.
Danny turns an ear toward the screened-off back seat.
Larry, is there someone in the back?
Yeah. Susie's in the back.
Susie?
Susie.
Who's Susie?
Danny, Susie's a hooker.
And she's in the back with someone?
Yes, she is.
Oh, Jesus, what's going on?
Well, I haven't got a booking. I've been renting out the car to my lady friends. And they take care of the business in the back with their Johns. Now, the Johns, they have to pay an extra 50 because that's classified as kinky sex. That extra 50 goes to the house. Yours truly. Hey, you want to go get something to eat, man? The soundtrack's making me hungry.
Now at a corner cafe, the brothers eat at a counter.
So are you going to go through with your surgery or operation or what?
I don't know. Man, what do you got to lose, huh?
Half my brain.
Half your brain? What do you mean?
I told you they have to implant this chip in my brain. This is like brain surgery?
Yes, genius, like brain surgery.
You're a slop.
He wipes ketchup off Danny's chin.
What are you doing? Get out of here with that.
You're making a mess. Filthy.
That's your face.
He shoves Larry's hand away. Larry eyes him worriedly.
So this might have like a significant oops factor, huh?
What?
Oops. We lost half your childhood memories. Sorry.
Exactly.
What's the upset?
Well, they said if it works, it's like the mother of all this, they can get a fuzzy black and white image.
No, we don't want anything less than full-blown, high-definition color, you know? Digital.
Outside, a buxom woman in a tight gold mini-dress gets out of the limo with her client. They enter the cafe.
Denver.
It was Dallas. He killed a man in Dallas just to see if he was dead.
Watch him die.
Listen to the song.
Excuse me. This gentleman has a favor to ask you.
The John hands Larry a camera.
Photo. Yeah, photo.
Oh, you want me to take a picture? Sure, all right.
The couple poses.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Don't press the boobs, sweetie.
1, 2, 3.
Larry nods at the digital display.
There we go.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Arigato.
Arigato. Arigato.
Bowing profusely, the John leaves. Susie primps her platinum hair and faces Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
She hands Larry cash. As he pockets it, the hooker eyes Danny.
Here's your friend.
Oh, Susie. This is my brother, Danny.
Get out.
That's him.
What?
Have you told your brother how handsome he is?
I haven't today.
Well, tell him.
Hey, Danny, you're gorgeous.
Danny nods politely and smiles.
Well, you are.
Thank you.
Hey, Danny. Any time that you want to go in the back of your brother's limo with me, you just let me know.
Ready?
Okay? No charge, of course.
Will do.
All right. Okay, you boys.
All right, you little sex kitten.
Y'all have a great night.
Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Damn right.
Larry watches her leave with a lascivious look in his eye.
Some kind of woman.
He picks up the check.
She just made you an offer you can't refuse.
Oh, stop it.
Now outside.
Hey, Danny, you know what? Don't bullshit me. Watch your step. You know, we both know you haven't done it. You know, and at your age, it's not natural, man. You know, you could start to build up all kinds of pressure, and let's not forget about your prostate.
Danny tries to brush past him.
Hold on. Okay. This is why old guys have all those problems. No sex.
Do you think the fact that I haven't had a relationship hasn't been on my mind?
I'm not talking about a relationship. I'm talking about sex.
Larry eyes him. Danny shakes his head.
Hey, Danny, you do want to do it with a woman, right?
Yes, of course I do.
All right. Look, I just had to ask, all right?
You gave me a little bit of a heart stopper there for a second.
Danny climbs into the limo. Now Larry sits behind the wheel.
Look, you don't understand, Larry. I don't want something cheap. I'm looking for the real thing.
Fine. Set you up with one nice girl.
I don't want anything arranged either. I don't want a hooker.
Danny, okay, no hookers. I'll find a good girl for you.
No, I don't think so. We've been through this before.
You know what I think? I think you're scared.
Bullshit.
Afraid of a little vagina?
Shut your mouth.
Scared of the vagina.
Danny smacks his brother. Later, the limo turns a corner.
It's gotta be a real date. You know, dinner and everything.
Yeah. And then, you know, take her back to my place.
If we feel something for each other and she wants to do it, then we'll do it. Only if she wants to do it.
Yeah, Danny, that's how it usually works. Otherwise, they arrest you and charge you with rape. What are you laughing at?
What?
I'm just thinking that it'd be like a real blind date. Danny, really, after 22 years, you just thought of that joke?
Oh, my God.
Do me a favor.
Don't turn the window down, please. You're still wearing that cologne?
You don't like that?
Patchouli.
Are you breaking my balls? You really don't like that.
Now at home, Marie spikes Danny's hair.
So who is she?
I don't know. Mandy's someone.
Do you trust Larry? What if she's like a dog? Okay, that's good. Stand
up. On Danny's shirt, citrus-colored flowers swirl around lavender blossoms on a blood-red background. Larry enters.
You look good.
Yeah.
I like the hair.
Yeah. Oh, what is this now?
Huh?
How does he look?
How do I look?
You look like a jackass, Danny.
What? He looks good.
Did you do this?
Yeah.
What?
We gotta change that shirt. What's wrong with the shirt?
Nothing's wrong with the shirt.
A lot is color. Wrong with that shirt.
We don't need another Tony Soprano in our house.
Larry points sternly at Marie.
Do not say anything bad about Tony Soprano.
Larry, you can leave now.
Guys, the shirt. What's wrong?
Larry.
Out.
I was just trying to help.
As Marie storms out, Larry searches the closet.
Larry, what is it? What's wrong with it?
It's very loud.
Okay, well, pick another one.
He finds a black shirt with a subtle pattern.
I bought you this shirt. Come on.
Now Danny wears a dark suit. Larry ties a black tie for him.
So how do you know her?
She's a friend of a friend. Unbelievable.
Danny pulls away.
I'm not done yet, Danny.
He fumbles for a pocket knife on a desk.
You make a blood oath that she isn't a dog or I stay.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You don't trust me anymore?
In one word, no.
And why not?
Are you forgetting Graziella Moreno in the 10th grade?
Gorilla Moreno?
Yeah.
Some people thought that girl was hot.
She smelled like a shaggy carpet. You make the oath or I stay.
Fine. Make your stupid oath.
Go ahead.
Larry snatches the knife, pries out the blade, and runs the blunt side across his palm.
Ah, God, that hurts.
Sharp edge, Larry.
All right.
Larry shoots Danny a quick glare.
No. A blood oath is when we both cut ourselves. Yeah, that's what it is. You cut yourself.
Cut yourself.
You do it first.
Do it.
No.
Cut yourself.
Are you going to do it?
No.
Well, then let's get out of here.
Fine.
This is ridiculous.
Fine.
Come on.
Now, outside an apartment building, Danny smooths his hair and suit. Larry escorts a petite redhead down the building's front steps toward his brother and the limo.
Okay, Mandy, my pleasure to introduce you to my brother Danny.
Very nice to meet you.
Mandy curtsies, grinning shyly. Danny feels around for the door of the limo, then opens it. Mandy's big, glassy eyes widen.
That's you.
Her mouth falls open.
Oh, you poor man.
Please,
Larry gestures for her to step in the car. She cups a hand to her mouth and obeys. Danny starts to walk away. Larry grabs the scruff of his jacket and drags him back. With a grim expression, Danny climbs in the car. Larry closes the door and turns away with a frown. Now, as the limo heads down a street, Mandy dabs her nose with a tissue.
I'm so sorry.
No.
I'm really sorry.
You'll feel much better after we get some food, I'm sure.
Okay.
Danny grins at her. As he faces forward, the grin fades and his eyes widen tensely. He forces another smile.
So you're blind?
Yes.
Behind the wheel, Larry raises his eyebrows. Now, in a restaurant, Danny stuffs his mouth with lettuce. A goateed waiter offers Mandy a tissue box.
Signorina.
Mandy nods her thanks and plucks out several tissues.
Look, please stop crying. Stop it. You know, just think I've been like this since I was born. I don't know any differently.
How brave.
Why don't we talk about you? How's that? We'll talk about you. Tell me something about yourself.
Well, there's not much to tell, really. I'm 25 years old, and I work as a secretary.
Danny nods encouragingly.
People think I look like Meryl Streep.
Danny grins. Mandy claps a hand to her mouth. Danny's brow creases uncertainly.
But you'll never know what Meryl Streep looks like.
As Mandy scampers out, Danny wears a puzzled frown. Outside, Jay, dressed as a valet, helps Mandy into a taxi. Danny puts a hand on Larry's shoulder.
The next one shouldn't be so sensitive.
On another night, Jay opens the limo's door. A leather-clad woman with a mullet steps out.
Evening.
She drags out Danny.
Get out of my way, asshole. Can't you see? Blind.
Danny trips on the curb.
Look what you did. Danny, come here, honey. Let me help you.
She hefts him onto her shoulder.
Okay, put me down.
She sets him down.
Come on.
Just trying to help.
She glares at Jay.
You gonna get the door or what, Tupac? Let's go!
He opens one of two double doors. As the woman walks through the open door, Danny smashes into the closed one.
Welcome.
Ladies first. Oh! I'm sorry.
Fine. Really, I'm fine.
Later, the woman raises a beer.
Cheers, baby.
Danny purses his lips.
So, Danny, tell me, you a physical guy? Like to do some working out?
Thank you. Sure.
What are you press?
50 pounds, maybe.
I like that. Like a man with a sense of humor.
Seated across from Danny, the woman sips her beer. Danny pats his plate and finds his salad fork. With a self-satisfied smile, the woman moves next to him.
Mama's gonna help you out.
She wrenches the fork from his fingers and spears some lettuce. As she raises the fork to his mouth, Danny pushes it away.
There you go.
You know, I can eat on my own. It's fine.
Hey, I'm just trying to create some chemistry, baby.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
His date knocks back a shot.
I'll take you.
I can walk.
As Danny reaches out in front of him, he finds her breasts. She yanks his body against hers.
Oh, Mama hasn't had action like this in weeks. I'm hungry. Let's go.
She slaps his butt. Now in a restroom, Danny locks himself into a stall.
Danny boy! Oh.
As she peeks over the stall, Danny uses his cell.
Get your ass in here, she's crazy.
His date tugs at the stall door.
Danny!
The waiter enters.
Senora, I must ask you to leave.
Oh, don't senora me, Pablo.
Danny's eyes widen. His date pushes the waiter against a wall.
Better hold on to your squirrel before he loses his nuts.
Senora, take your time. Can I get you something to drink? An espresso, perhaps.
Out.
She crawls under the stall door.
Oh, God. Get in here!
Have you ever done it in the bathroom, Danny?
Now in the limo, Danny rides up front with Larry.
I just want to meet a normal woman.
The raised partition blocks them from the back seat. Larry sighs.
That cross-big mama!
Now, Danny sits in the back of the limo, next to a round-cheeked blonde with a silk scarf.
I've been looking so forward to this night that I brought a little something along with me as a surprise.
The blonde blindfolds herself with it.
Danny, I want to feel the way that you feel. I want to see the things that you see. I want to be as one with you, Danny. Look, I have a blindfold. I can see the blackness.
Larry!
The limo squeals into a 180 on a wet street. Now, at the clinic, Lisa scribbles a note at the front desk. Danny leans toward her.
Doris Stone vacation?
Lisa jumps.
You're very good at this, aren't you?
I've got great insight.
As she gazes at him, her shoulders relax.
I'll tell him you're here.
Later, Danny knees his jacket in his lap.
This is a very big decision, Danny. You sure you want to do it?
Yeah, sure I am.
It's very brave of you, Danny.
It's not like I'm volunteering for a suicide mission here, is it?
No. What I meant to say was, neurosurgery is never without risks, and it would be wrong of me to say otherwise.
Well, then what are the risks?
We really don't know.
Dr. Perkins looks to Dr. Evans.
I think that what Dr. Perkins is trying to say is that you're very courageous to try something that has not been done very often.
She gives Perkins a steady nod. Later, Dr. Perkins escorts Danny into the waiting room.
Oh, I can take Mr. Valisecki to a cab, Doctor, if he wants.
Danny draws a breath.
Sure.
Outside.
You told me that, there you go. There's always risks with brain surgery, but I figure what the hell, you gotta be brave sometime.
Sure you gotta be brave, but it's not so smart to walk around without a cane step.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. You're in luck. Here's a cab.
Danny hesitates and turns toward her.
Got a confession to make. I don't really need a cab.
I just kind of wanted to talk with you a while.
Oh. That's very sweet.
My brother Larry's coming to pick me up. He, runs a limo service.
Lisa nods.
Larry's limos.
Oh.
He's not here yet.
How can you tell?
If Larry were here, trust me, you'd know it. But anyway, when he comes, maybe we can give you a ride?
Oh, thanks, but I'd better not. And my bus is here, so I better go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. See you soon.
As Lisa races to her bus, Danny smiles and waves. He nervously bites his lip. Now, at the Crimson Elephant, Lisa's mom serves Lisa and Arvin.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you,
Auntie. Nearby, Ravi flips through a copy of the Kama Sutra.
If she brings us any more food, we can open our own restaurant.
We don't have to. After we get married, we're going to take over this one. It's all been discussed.
Lisa stares at him.
Oh, and what else has been discussed?
That you'll run this place until we start having kids.
And have you discussed when that is going to be?
Well, the sooner the better. And, we start practicing now.
Arvin, what if I don't want to run this restaurant? What if I want to go to medical school?
Behind her back, Ravi shows a picture of a sexual pose.
What?
As Lisa glances back, Ravi hides the book and waves innocently at her.
Sorry.
Now, in Dr. Perkins' office, Danny's doctors hover at his side.
You know, the final choice isn't going to be made on ophthalmic criteria. It's probably going to be made on a candidate's personality.
His ability to cope with the success or failure of the operation.
Now, as Danny exits the clinic, Lisa hurries after him.
Danny, do you want to join me for lunch? I go to the park across the road.
She holds up a lunch bag.
I got turkey and cheese.
Any shrimp?
Danny smiles.
No.
Yeah, right.
As Lisa grins, Danny takes her shoulder. Later in a park.
My brother Larry, when I was a kid, told me that kids are supposed to run free in the park. That's what parks are for.
But he didn't tell me about trees. I really hate trees. Like a lot. Wanna take a walk?
Wait a minute. You want me to follow you?
No, you lead. Just give me your shoulder.
Okay.
Check these.
Okay.
They stand with their sandwiches.
Where are we going?
You like baseball?
I don't know. I've never been.
Now they picnic on the baseball field.
Love it. It's a beautiful game. And we got the smell of the grass. You get the sound of the ball when it gets crushed. There's nothing like it.
Maybe I should go sometime. Has Dr. Perkins talked to you about the operation?
Yeah, he said the final choice will be based on personality.
You're not going to have a problem there.
I'm not so sure about that.
Danny, I've worked with a lot of visually impaired people, and I can honestly say I've never met anyone like you.
What do you mean?
Well, it's this feeling you give to other people. And you don't use your cane.
Please use my cane?
Not always. And that's stupid and dangerous and also kind of brave. You ever thought of a guide dog?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love dogs. I just got this little problem with dog shit.
I guess what I'm trying to tell you is you're okay.
Danny takes another bite of his sandwich and chews it thoughtfully.
Think I'm okay enough to have dinner with me?
Lisa freezes mid-chew, then swallows hard.
Okay.
Danny's lips curl upward. Now, Lisa heads out of the Crimson Elephant.
Who are these friends you're going out with?
Just friends from the hospital, Ma. Bye! Mm-hmm.
Now, at the restaurant, Danny and Lisa sit across from each other at a table.
Thank you.
A waiter takes their plates.
I mean, I like that book, too. I mean, I like to read, but I love to watch movies, because in movies, they don't describe the trees and the sky and the birds and all that stuff. In movies, they just talk. They just talk. And when I hear someone's voice, I mean, it tells me so much about people. Like your voice. Your voice tells me that that you have short, dark hair, and you have these big, beautiful, dark eyes.
Dr. Perkins could have told you that.
No, it's your voice. I'm telling you, it's your voice. I mean, your hair, I can tell that it's short because I can't hear it swishing around. Although I did take a chance in your eyes, but now I know it's true. They are big and beautiful.
Lisa gazes at him. Later, the goateed waiter smiles as he strides past their table.
Well, I figure a lawyer, you know, got to be able to read people's minds, and when you're blind, that's mostly what you do.
And are you reading my mind?
Yeah, sure.
And?
A smile flits across Danny's lips.
I can tell that you want to be here, but there's also something holding you back. And I don't know what it is.
Lisa swallows.
I think you're going to be a very good lawyer.
Later, they slow dance.
What I'd really like to do is go to medical school. Mm-hmm. And then join Dr. Perkins' research team.
Why can't you?
It's not that simple. I'm a woman.
I noticed.
And one day I'd like to get married, have a family.
Okay, you both?
No. Not without an understanding husband.
Then you're just gonna have to choose a right one.
Danny smiles mischievously as they continue to dance, turning slowly in the middle of the floor. Later, outside, a sign above the door reads, La Ferrovia. Danny and Lisa exit. Jay spots them.
That is one fine lady with you, Mr. Valdisecki.
Thank you, James.
Now, Danny and Lisa walk beneath a pergola covered in vines of red blossoms.
Smell when Mrs. Luciano makes fettuccine from 3 blocks away. Mm-hmm. Or when they cut grass at the baseball field. I love your perfume. And your smile. You smell that? The blossoms are out early this year.
Now you're sure.
Lisa adjusts the strap of her purse. They stop and face each other.
Is there anybody else around?
No, we're alone.
She tucks her hair behind her ear.
I've had the best night I've ever had. I just hope it's been half as good for you.
I've had a wonderful time.
Danny gently touches her neck and leans his lips toward hers. As Lisa accepts the tender kiss, Danny lifts his other hand to her thick, shiny hair and brushes his thumb across her cheek. As they slowly withdraw, Danny opens his eyes and lets down his hands. Lisa's eyes blink open and her lips remain parted. They walk on, Danny with a hopeful smile, Lisa with a dumbfounded look. Daytime. In a garage, Larry turns away from a mechanic.
All right, thanks.
He climbs out from under his limo and faces Danny.
An oil leak now. She gonna tell me about it?
She's the most natural person in the whole world. She's got the most beautiful smile.
Danny, how do you know what a smile looks like?
I wouldn't understand. It's the sound of it. The sound of her smile.
So why didn't you take her back to my place last night?
No, because not everything's got to come down to sex.
It's true. Money and looks are important, too.
He glances at the limo.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Don't forget to clean those footprints off my ceiling.
I got it.
Unbelievable. What's so unbelievable?
Your face.
It's hot.
Now, Lisa walks through the park carrying a brown paper lunch bag. She stops in her tracks and grins. On a bench, Danny sits cradling a bouquet of flowers. She crosses the grass to him, slowing her pace as she draws near. As Lisa stops in front of him, Danny smiles.
Hi.
Hey.
He stands and offers her the small bouquet.
You're gorgeous. Thank you.
You like Humphrey Bogart?
I like Humphrey Bogart.
Danny reaches for his folded cane.
Let's go, kid.
Now in a dark movie theater.
What about us?
We'll always have Paris. We didn't have, we lost it until you came to Casablanca.
Danny sits with his arm around Lisa. He nuzzles her cheek, then kisses her tenderly.
And you never will. And I've got a job to do, too.
Later, on a sidewalk bench, they share another kiss.
Danny, I've got to go.
No, don't go.
They stand, staying face to face.
Lisa, I've never felt this way for anyone before.
Lisa's wide eyes fix intensely on Danny. He takes a deep breath. Lisa impulsively puts her lips to his. Danny's fingers cradle her face as he returns the passionate kiss. As they ease apart, Lisa gazes up at him. Her lower lip quivers as she shapes words uncertainly.
I'll see you soon, okay?
Yeah.
Danny flashes a wide grin. Tears flood Lisa's eyes as she retrieves her bag from the bench.
Bye.
Her brow wrinkles as she walks away. Danny stands motionless. The corners of his lips remain lifted, and his eyelids flutter. Lisa passes a gift shop, clutching the bouquet. Her watery eyes stare blankly ahead. She blinks back tears. Nighttime. In the Crimson Elephant, Lisa sits with Arvin and their families.
Arvin will take over the business in a few years when I retire. And with a loyal wife by his side, he will be well able to provide for his family.
Arvin's ability to provide for his future family is in no doubt because he's Indian. And there should be no doubt about the loyalty of his future wife either.
Arvin smiles across the table at Lisa, who swallows hard. Now, Danny dines with his family.
I want to tell you how proud we all are of you, Danny. First, for getting chosen for this operation, and second, for having the palais to go through with it.
What does palais mean?
Oh, stop corrupting Marie. Come on, please. Thank you, Pop. Thank you, Larry. I would just like to say that if this thing does work out, and I can see your faces for the first time, and I find out you're all too ugly, I'm moving out.
Hey.
Chin chin.
Salud. Salud.
Daytime. On a park bench, Lisa and Danny hold hands.
Dr. Perkins says if it's successful, I might be able to see well enough to get around. You can identify faces. I might be able to see your face. I know what you look like.
Now, the sun sets behind power lines. In the Crimson Elephant, Lisa sits with her mother.
Only a man can cause joy one day and tears the next. What has Arvin done?
Mom, it isn't Arvin.
He's a Hindu.
He's not Indian.
Her mother covers Lisa's hands with her own.
A few years after I came to this country, I met this man. An American. He was very handsome, like a movie star. And every time I saw him, my heart jumped.
Mom, what happened?
Oh, he met a beautiful American girl.
Oh.
Nothing to be sad about. Just thankful. I met your father just after that.
Lisa musters a smile. Her mother leans closer and peers into her daughter's eyes.
You're my only daughter, and I love you very much. But you've made a promise, Darwin. And only you can decide if you can honor that promise or not.
Fighting back tears, Lisa nods. Her mother holds her in a gentle embrace. Daytime. In the park, she sits near a pond with Danny.
I'm sorry. I should have told you earlier.
What are you talking about? What is that supposed to mean?
Danny, I've had a wonderful time with you, and no one's ever made me feel this way. But I'm engaged to be married.
Engaged to be married?
He takes his hand out of hers.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means I can't see you anymore.
Danny's lips tremble as he searches for words.
Am I missing something here? I don't understand.
I'm sorry. I should have told you earlier.
Do you love this guy? Do you?
He's a nice guy, Danny.
That doesn't answer my question. Do you love him?
It's not that simple. There's a lot more to it than that.
Just be honest with me. At the end of the day, you'd rather be with someone who can see instead of some asshole blind guy.
Lisa wets her lips. Danny stands, unfolds his cane, and leaves. Lisa remains motionless on the bench. Now, Larry drives Danny in the limo.
Danny, you know, I know what it's like to get dumped. I understand. What you gotta do is look at it like you're one of these 1 in 10 guys, okay? For every 10 no's that you get, you're gonna get one yes, okay? So this no is really just bringing you that much closer to a yes.
You gotta trust me on this, Danny. It's all mathematics.
Now at the ballpark, Jay pitches
Ready?
A softball.
Set, pitch!
Danny hits a line drive.
Woo! Man, that would've been a double for sure. I smell money, man.
Wow. Hey,
what's up?
So it doesn't bother you, you know, that I can't see, does it?
Nah.
Even when we were at school and you had to help me all the time?
Ah, wait a second. It's those girls you've been dating.
I just don't get it, man.
Look, Danny boy, girls are something you cannot figure out, all right? But if they can't realize that you're a good cat, you got it going on, screw them. You wild, man. Your hormones are jumping up. Come on, next pitch.
Nighttime. Arvin and Lisa exit the Crimson Elephant.
So where are we going?
I just wanted to get some air.
Oh.
Arvin glances behind them. Lisa's mother and another woman help a third woman with a walker.
And so does your family?
The engaged couple strolls across the street. Glancing furtively back at the older women, Arvin grabs Lisa's hand and runs.
Arvin!
He takes her behind a pillar.
So beautiful tonight. I just wanted a little bit of time alone with you. And these pumpkins have been calling out to me all night. Hello?
He grabs her breasts.
It's okay. We're going to get married. Don't.
No,
they're not
going to
come.
On the street, a car nearly hits Lisa's female relatives. As Arvin continues to paw her, Lisa struggles, kneeing him. He hobbles down the sidewalk.
Arvin.
She follows him.
Arvin.
As she reaches for his hand, Arvin snatches it away. Now, in a gym, Larry watches women spreading their legs in thigh machines.
Wow.
Below him, Danny does bench presses.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
A muscular guy watches.
There you go.
Danny stands and Larry changes the weights. The muscular guy grins.
Need some help?
No, I got it. All right. Push through it. You got it.
Yeah.
As Danny stands by, Larry holds the weights over his head without pumping.
Two.
Good.
Three. Four.
Good.
Five.
Yeah.
Larry racks the weights and sits up.
I'm done.
How about one rep treat?
Danny shakes his head.
Very, very impressive.
Larry wryly regards the muscular guy's grin.
Hey, Danny, let's go.
Hit the showers.
Yeah.
Now at home, Danny and Marie stand by his open closet.
All right, pick something cool. Think James Dean. Did you mess up my hair?
Looks fine.
She takes out a blue shirt.
Come on.
So, who'd Larry fix you up with this time?
Now at La Ferrovia, Danny sits across from a brunette with purple streaks in her hair. She smiles, sitting back in her chair. As Danny sips wine, his date slips her foot out of her shoe and slides her toes up his leg. Danny flattens his hands on the table. He reaches under and pushes her foot away.
Larry tells me you're in the service industry. That's great. What do you do exactly?
the service industry. I like that. It's a good one.
She lifts her cell phone.
It's Dolores.
Dolores' smile sobers.
Yeah, it's 500. Not including cab fare. Call me in like,
She gives Danny a once-over.
2 hours.
Danny gulps wine and sets down the glass.
No, I don't do seniors.
Oh, come on!
He stands. Now Danny leaves with a hand on Jay's shoulder.
Yeah, she was great. We had a good time. Larry!
At the limo, Danny feels for his brother and punches him in the face.
What did I say? What did I say? No hookers, right?
Danny, get in the car, man.
Get in the car, Danny.
Larry, you all right?
No.
Danny gets in the car, and a maitre d' gives Larry a tissue.
Get in the car, Larry.
Still punched like a bitch.
Shut your mouth and get in the car. It'll stop bleeding, you pussy.
Later, they drive.
Danny, you know what? I was trying to help you out, man. And I figured maybe, you know, you could use a little push.
Danny turns his head away from his brother. Wadded tissues plug Larry's nose.
There was one other girl I was thinking about setting you up with. And this girl, she's a real bombshell, man. New client of mine. Top class action.
No.
Fine.
Fine.
Fine. Fine.
Fine.
She's top class? That's what I said.
All right, on one condition.
What?
She can't know I'm blind.
Are you nuts?
Later.
It's too risky, man. I don't see the point of it.
You don't see the point. The point is crystal clear, all right? On each of the dates, they weren't dating me. They were dating some blind guy. I don't want their pity.
You're saying you don't want a sympathy lady? Tissue.
Danny hands him a fresh tissue.
At least you're on the right track.
Hey, how do you think you're going to pull this off, huh?
Easy.
Daytime. Outside La Ferrovia, Larry lets Danny out of the limo.
You ready?
All right, now you got the step
stepping
right
out. I know the step.
Come on. Two,
hold on.
Three,
tell me, what's
four,
the left
four?
All
Thank
right.
you very much. Larry.
Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Good evening, Mr. Valdisecchi.
Bling you very much, James.
My
Inside,
man.
They face the goateed waiter.
Senor.
The corner table as usual.
Grazie, Pietro.
Pietro heads into the dining room, followed by Danny, Larry, and Jay. Danny stops several steps in. He turns sharply and heads toward the table for two.
Two, three, four.
He reaches out for the back of a chair. He sits and Pietro pulls out the other chair for Larry.
Thank you, Pietro.
Pietro circles around the table and hands Danny a wine list. Danny holds it up and faces it critically.
Bottle of your single vineyard Syrah.
Say something earthy and jammy.
Something earthy and jammy.
Well done. Well done.
Now, in Larry's apartment, a neon sign above the bed reads, The Red Zone. Larry and Danny face a CD player.
Not too loud, though, okay?
That's good,
something,
right?
Yeah, something nice and mellow. Yeah. Right there. And this is 6 CD changer. So if she doesn't like the music, you just hit this button here, and it changes the CD, okay? But just be careful.
Danny touches a button.
Mm. I bet that's FM radio, Danny, okay? No, you don't gotta push anything else. All you're gonna have to do is push play.
All right.
And that's
right.
It. And be very careful.
Danny pushes the player and Larry grabs it.
That's not funny.
Windows overlook the ballpark.
All right, Danny, look. Now.
He walks Danny to the bed.
If you ever get this far, then you're gonna need one of these.
He hands him a condom.
That's a condom. It's for safe sex. There's nothing worse than a blind guy with genital warts.
Squidgy.
Yes, Daniel, it is squidgy. Now, this is something you're going to have to do on your own. I cannot help you with it. But think of it like homework.
Danny takes it out of the packet.
Not now. Oh, you like that condom, don't you?
At Danny's, a box of condoms sit open.
Larry, none of them fit.
He uses a phone.
What the? I put them on, but they're too big. They keep on falling off.
In the limo.
It's impossible, Danny. You're a Valdisecchi.
I've been trying for the last 2 hours.
Danny, you stayed up for 2 hours?
A female passenger listens.
What do you mean up?
Daniel, you can't put the condom on unless you're stiff, you know?
You never told me that.
Danny, what is that?
Just open another one, see if it fits.
He munches corn chips.
Are you chewing on the condoms?
They taste like heaven, man.
Why are you putting me on here?
You know I'm busy right now?
Now at La Ferrovia, Larry opens the limo door. Danny steps out, followed by a shapely young blonde. She takes his arm as they head past Jay at the door.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Valdisecki.
Thank you, Jim.
I really need a moment of your time, sir.
A new maitre d' mans the reservations desk.
It's gonna be about an hour.
A guest hands him some money.
How long?
5 minutes, sir. Thank you.
Danny and his date approach.
Ah, buonasera, signore. You have a reservation?
The blonde smiles up at Danny.
Yes. Where's Pietro?
He's out with a dreadful flu, or so he says. What was the name on the reservation?
Valdisecki.
The maitre d' checks his list.
Right this way.
He leads the young lady to a table across the crowded dining room. Danny follows to the middle of the room, makes a sharp turn, and proceeds to the corner table occupied by a Japanese couple. He sits with them. The maitre d' approaches.
Scusi, signore. Your table is this way.
Corner table, right?
No, as you can see, this table is occupied.
Danny reaches to his right and finds an arm. The Japanese man frowns at him. Danny's jaw drops.
Sorry.
Ikelojike!
Sushi.
At the far table, Danny's date applies makeup. Danny signals the maitre d'.
Yes, sir.
I arranged the corner table with Pietro.
Well, he did not tell me.
Danny's date mouths flattery to her reflection in her compact.
Right this way.
As the maitre d' steps away, Danny stands and walks into another couple's table.
Excuse me. Sir, is everything all right?
Danny grabs his arm.
Ow. Guy, tell me, how far is it to the table from here?
I beg your pardon?
Shh, listen, barely carefully from where I'm standing right now. How many steps is it to the table?
I'd say about 20.
Which direction these hours on the clock face?
9 o'clock.
Anything to eat?
No.
Danny sidles behind the maitre d'.
Okay. Now, you're gonna walk in front of me, walk slowly, and keep on talking so I know where you are.
Look, I don't know what's going on.
A passing waiter bumps the maitre d' and falls on the floor. Danny spins his guide around.
Tell me we're stopping.
I didn't know I had to stop.
Won't happen again.
Right this way, sir. Here's your table.
Great.
What took you so long?
I was just saying hi to some friends from Japan.
He sits.
Well, this is my good side.
Danny faces straight ahead. As his date's smile fades, he faces her.
Want some wine? I feel like some wine.
Oh, yes.
Waiter?
An elderly server steps to the table.
Wine, sir?
Great.
Danny takes the wine list and holds it upside down.
Perfect. I will take the bottle of your single vineyard Syrah. That's earthy and jammy, right?
The waiter nods and leaves. Danny's date cocks her head and smiles pleasantly.
Let's order. I'm starving.
Oh, yeah.
Later, Danny spoons the melty remnants of an ice cream sundae into his mouth. His date swipes a cherry from the bowl. She holds it delicately in her fingertips and closes her mouth sensuously around the fruit. She eyes Danny's unresponsive face. Spotting chocolate on her date's chin, she points to her chin, then lowers her tongue and points again.
Danny, you have some chocolate sauce on your chin.
Danny dabs his chin with his napkin.
You are not doing a very good job of cleaning that up.
Let me.
She seductively sucks her napkin, then briskly brushes it across his skin. As the sauce vanishes, she pinches his chin.
You're so different from the other men I date. You're just like a little boy. But you know what I like most about you?
Danny shakes his head.
Your eyes. And the way you look at me.
Danny smiles.
We can go back to your place now.
She kisses his cheek.
Hi, tiger.
He grins as she sucks his earlobe. A quick frown melts into an ecstatic smile. As the woman keeps nibbling and nuzzling, Danny's eyelids droop. One twitches, and his jaw hangs slack. The maitre d' brings it. Later, Larry drives them in his limo.
Silly little boy. Oh, who needs ice cream? You've got dessert like this.
A gleeful grin overtakes Danny's face as the woman undoes his necktie. Larry smiles. Now the woman bites Danny's tie and snarls. Later, in Larry's apartment, as Danny pours red wine, he senses the rising level with a fingertip.
Such a sexy night. Don't you think?
Yes, it is.
As his date looks out over the floodlit baseball field, Danny brings the wine glasses. She turns and bumps him. Wine spills down her dress.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, are you all right? The bathroom's over here.
It's okay. It's my friend's dress anyway, so I guess I'm gonna have to get out of this now.
Yeah,
she swigs some wine.
Let's go. I'll take you to the bathroom. It's over there. Let me change the music.
She pushes Danny toward the bed.
Just sit back and enjoy the show, Mr. Blue Eyes.
She strips.
You're a cutie, patootie, and I shake my little booty.
She wears a sheer pink teddy.
And look at the chair. And now I'm taking my sexy hair.
Danny stares in her direction as she straddles a chair.
I believe it's gonna take the
rest. Do you like what you see? Yeah, you do.
Never seen better.
Yeah, baby!
She grips a shelving unit's pole, thrusts her pelvis, and wags her pert rear end. Danny sips his wine.
Now you like what you see. Now you like what you see, right? You like it?
Several CDs fall off the shelf.
Well, the CDs certainly like it. Now let's see if we are hiding the desired effect.
She prowls toward Danny, reaches for his crotch, and recoils.
I knew something was wrong. Why didn't you tell me?
No, look. No, I just thought that maybe I could go out with someone who didn't first have to come to terms with the fact that I'm blind.
Blind? I thought you were gay.
Danny smiles vacantly. As the vexed woman slaps her butt in reply, Danny glances at the sound. The woman reprises a few pelvic thrusts at the shelves, irritably grabs her dress and clutch, and flounces off. The floodlights on the ball field go out. Now, seated in his bedroom at his parents' house, Danny peels off his dress shirt. He gets up and slams the door shut. Daytime. Danny sits on a bench in a spacious and empty train station.
The street bears no relief.
Later, he sweeps his fingertips across a brailled page. Downstairs, Marie returns an untouched bowl of pasta to Mrs. Valdesecchi. Now, Lisa taps a pen on the clinic appointment book. A highlighted block shows Danny scheduled for 3 o'clock, but the wall clock reads 3:25. Dr. Perkins peers inquiringly at her. She shakes her head. Later.
Mrs. Valdesecchi, if Danny misses any more tests, we won't be able to proceed with the operation.
Thank you for calling, Doctor.
At the basketball courts, Danny sits apart from a group of players, his blank gaze angled downward.
No.
In his limo, Larry uses his cell.
Relax, I'll find him, okay?
Larry squints at the passing city blocks. Back at the courts, Jay challenges a tall, imposing player.
Let's play some horse.
Jay struts to the nearby bench.
Pick all your money.
Danny boy.
You
for
got
a game for horse?
Yep.
Check it out. It's the blind guy shoots first. And there's no dunking, you understand?
How do I know he's blind?
Because you low-budget Shaquille O'Neal. Everyone
God,
knows he's blind.
Original, man. What are you, an eye specialist or something?
What are you talking about, boy?
Now, Larry pulls up courtside in his limo and sees the imposing player move in on Danny. The bully takes the ball.
Hey, Jay, you smell that?
What's that thing?
It smells like ass, man.
He throws the ball at Danny's gut.
Hey! Big man! Like in a blind kid?
Larry grabs a trash can lid and swings it. The bully blocks, then bear hugs Larry, lifting him off the ground. Larry flails helplessly. Later, the two brothers sit, facing away from each other.
Why haven't you been going to the doctor, Danny? Danny, just tell me what the problem is. I promise you, it's not as bad as you think. I don't understand you anymore, man. This operation is something for you. You understand that? Something to make your life better. Why would you want to ruin that? Huh?
Later, they approach the clinic together.
I'm gonna be right by the car making calls if you need me, right?
Larry gets the door for Danny, who enters alone. As he stops just inside, Lisa stands up behind the reception desk.
Danny, hi.
Hi.
Do you have her chart?
Danny feels his way to an empty seat. Wide-eyed, Lisa eagerly comes around to the front of the desk, but Danny sits with his back to her.
I'll tell Dr. Perkins you're here.
Yeah, do that. Just tell him I'm here. I'm here.
She makes the call later.
Danny, I need to know that you still feel positive about this operation. I tell you what. Why don't you see Dr. Evans one more time? She'll give us her assessment. We take it from there.
Later, crossing to the waiting room doors, Danny stumbles on a toy dump truck. Lisa hurries to catch up as he exits.
Danny, wait. Look, can we go to the park and talk? I never really explained myself too well.
What's to explain? You're getting married.
Danny, please.
She keeps after him.
Danny.
Larry watches her jog over.
Danny, please.
Danny stops with Lisa at his side. He gives a faint bobble of his head, and they pass just in front of Larry, who waits by his limo. He watches Danny lead the way, with Lisa on his elbow. Now in the park, Danny's cane taps a bench. Danny sits first and faces forward. Lisa sits to his right, angled toward him. She lays her shoulder bag aside.
Danny, there's something else I should have told you before.
Oh, Jesus, you're carrying his child?
No! I haven't even slept with him. I haven't slept with anyone, ever.
Join the club.
Danny, I'm Indian. It's hard to explain what that means to someone who isn't Indian. It's a different world. It's a different culture.
This guy's Indian too, right?
Yeah, he is.
And when I asked you if you loved him, you couldn't answer me.
My family's concept of love isn't what you think it is. It's got to do with duty and loyalty and responsibility. And
to who?
Danny, I can't go against my family.
Lisa's eyes pool with tears.
I can't break a promise I've made.
A tear spills down her smooth cheek.
I'm sorry. And it's got nothing to do with you being blind. Who knows? When you can see, you might not like me anyway.
She flashes a bashful smile.
I'm not an American beauty.
Danny keeps his head bowed. His gaze stays facing forward.
I've got to go.
Lisa's pained gaze lingers on Danny, then she leaves. Now, in a visit with Danny, Dr. Evans cleans her eyeglasses as she sits, fully dressed.
Did I do something wrong?
Oh, no, Danny. Falling in love with someone who's already engaged is not a crime.
Yeah, but it's a crime for her falling in love with me? Is that what it is?
No. Now, falling in love is completely natural. I mean, we don't even have control over it.
So then maybe it's like manslaughter.
No, I don't understand.
When you do something and you don't really mean it.
No. No, falling in love is the most wonderful thing in the whole world.
Yeah, I guess so. Are you naked today, Dr. Evans?
No. No, but I'd like to be.
Later at the clinic.
Dr. Sato, we can do this.
I think it's impossible. He's missed too many tests. He is obviously not committed.
We have enough time to finish those tests before the operation. I promise you this boy is committed.
Most of us live our lives viewing it from the outside in. Danny experiences his world from the inside out. And that's his strength. He is more than capable of dealing with traumatic change and of coping with the outcome of the operation, whatever that may be.
Now, orderlies wheel Danny along on a gurney, and Lisa looks on. As he passes, his head rolls to the side in her direction. Later, an OR light illuminates Danny's restful face. In a waiting room, Dr. Evans approaches Danny's parents.
I'm here if you need me.
The therapist takes a seat behind them. Mr. Valdisecki notices his wife staring off, her lips stiff and tense.
What?
Is my baby gonna be all right?
It's gonna be just fine.
Because if anything should happen to him, there's going to be a lot of shouting. Down here and in heaven.
Mr. Valdisecki puts his arm around her.
You're a good mother. And you got a good boy. Nothing's going to happen to him. No one's going to have to shout. Yeah.
She rests her head on him. In the OR, gloved hands use a trimmer to shave the hair above Danny's right ear. Now, back in the waiting room.
Yeah, sure.
Larry uses his cell phone.
Be there at like 9:30.
Now, Danny's shaved temple lies framed by surgical cloths and overlaid with iodine-treated film. Jay folds his hands in the waiting room.
Are the leads?
A laser dot crosses an X-ray of Danny's skull. Then Dr. Perkins takes up his scalpel. Marie fidgets in the waiting room. A gloved hand in the OR reaches for a syringe, then a clamp, then discards bloody gauze. A microscopic view shows blood flow along a Y-shaped pathway. In the waiting room, Dr. Evans puts on her glasses and exhales. Now, an assistant flips a pump run button, and a pressure gauge needle swivels past 40.
Pneumatic pressure up.
Marie stares off. The surgical team works diligently. Later, Larry's limo sits parked outside the neurosurgical center. Inside, Dr. Perkins approaches the family.
It's about a second. Excuse me. Danny came through surgery beautifully. He's doing very, very well.
So when can we see him?
When he wakes up, and we start our tests as soon as he's strong enough.
Now, in recovery, Danny lies with his eyes closed. A bandage wraps his head, and a tube and wire trail from his hand. His chest rises and falls steadily. Lisa arrives outside the glass-paned door to his room and enters. Wearing a peaceful gaze, she strides eagerly to his bedside, leans in and kisses his cheek. She lets her brow brush his in a brief nuzzle, then straightens. Lisa takes a few calm breaths, then leaves. Later, in a dim room, Dr. Perkins crouches down beside a conscious Danny as Dr. Evans looks on.
How are we doing?
Let's do this.
All right. You're going to feel a little pressure.
A monitor shows a transmitter fitted into Danny's temple.
Mm-hmm. You all right?
Fine.
Dr. Sato removes a power pack wired with a pair of modified sunglasses.
I'm putting on the glasses now. And when the time is right, you take all the time you need. I'm going to turn on the power to the camera. But you let me know.
Mm-hmm.
The tiny camera sits mounted on the right lens.
I'm ready?
Good man. We're going to do this on the count of three. All right?
Mm-hmm.
One, two, and three.
Danny winces.
All right, tell me what's happening. What's happening?
What is it, Danny?
It's a little bit.
A flash shows black and white shapes.
There's some.
The doctors follow his gesture.
There's something here. There are things,
phosphines. Probably phosphines. This is an indication that the visual cortex is being stimulated.
It's not all black anymore. It's
a hazy window. Danny reaches for it.
Is there a... There's something here, like a... Square?
Square?
Square? Danny, that's a window. Danny, you're looking at the window.
Something moves, something moves.
That's me! That's me! You just saw me in front of the window!
Danny's hands shield himself from the brightness. The doctors help him into the hall.
It's a good start.
Feels like a roller coaster.
Let's get you out.
Well done.
In the evening, they bring Danny home. As Marie, Larry, and Jay watch eagerly, Mr. Valdisecki guides his wife closest to Danny.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Danny winces a little. He glimpses a hazy black and white image of Marie in the living room. More flashes reveal Dr. Evans and Larry. As Danny relaxes, his mother's face briefly fills his view. He bows his head, then lets his touch recognize her face. He looks again, sees her tender and emotional gaze, and smiles at her.
Hi, baby.
They share a tight hug. His mom rubs his back and cradles the nape of his neck. As Danny's hand reaches out, his father's curious face cranes into his view. Both men smile.
Guess who?
Mr. Valdisecki kisses Danny on the forehead, then squeezes him close in his arms. Marie and Dr. Evans tear up. Dr. Perkins keeps his eyes respectfully on the reunion. Now, father and son separate, and Danny sees Larry step forward with a fond smile. The brothers embrace.
What's up, ugly?
As they pat each other on the back, their parents beam. Now, Mrs. Valdisecki eagerly reaches for Marie to approach. The girl's reluctant gaze fills Danny's view. He reads her face with his hands, then takes her dearly in his arms. Marie holds him tight. Now, Danny straightens and looks to his left.
Where's Jay?
Right here, man.
He sees Jay.
So, you a rock, man.
They share a hug.
Hey,
now, Danny faces Dr. Evans, takes in her warm, lovely smile, and gives her a hug.
I'm so proud of you, Danny.
Danny comes full circle and pats Dr. Perkins' lapels.
Guess it works. This is tweet, huh?
Later, Danny enters his bedroom and reaches for the remote control. He turns on his TV.
Maybe not today.
What about us?
He touches the screen.
We'll always have Paris.
Danny.
We lost it.
Marie joins him.
Got it back last night.
You okay?
No. I would never leave you.
Come here, I want to show you something.
As his sister crosses in front of him, he follows. Marie removes two framed baseball pictures from in front of a dresser top mirror. She smiles at Danny's reflection. He touches the glass.
It's you.
Someday you'll understand that.
A hint of a smile crosses his lips. Danny's camera view flares brightly.
Danny?
Danny drops to his knees.
Mom! Danny? Mom!
Now downstairs, Dr. Perkins checks his eyes.
That's right. Good constriction. That's good. Shoulders to your ears.
Danny complies. The two doctors swap nods.
Yeah.
On another night, Danny and Marie lie head to toe on Danny's bed.
Lisa.
Danny eats popcorn from a bowl on his belly.
That doesn't sound Indian.
Oh.
You really like her, don't you?
Marie sits up and smiles at his soft expression.
You're in love with her.
Yeah. Guess so.
Well, have you told her?
No. I really get a chance.
Now, Lisa's parents show their daughter a card.
It is the day chosen by the Vedic astrologer as the most auspicious date for the wedding.
To avoid any calamity.
Are you in agreement with it?
Sure. The 28th is as good a date as any.
Lisa forces a smile and walks away, leaving her parents perplexed. Morning, Larry and his parents watch a newscast.
We are at the dawn of a new procedure, and we're having to learn as we go. But remember, you and I wouldn't be standing here talking right now if it wasn't for brave young men like Danny, who take on the risks of experimental surgery and pave the way for all those who follow.
Later.
Is the camera here?
Yeah.
Close in tight. I smell an Emmy.
A reporter meets Danny.
Hi, Danny. Hey, thanks for taking our interview today. How you doing? Danny, why don't you take a walk down the street or throw a ball or something?
Yeah. I have to turn it on first.
Oh, no. The kid's not going to do any action without a contract. Okay, people?
I'm sorry. Who are you?
I'm Lorenzo Valdisecki.
Susie's tight t-shirt bears the name.
On, Lorenzo's Limos. If any of you people want the ride of a lifetime, just call...
Danny powers up the camera, then collapses. His dad runs inside. Later, Danny overhears.
We gave it our best shot. But it's obviously affecting his brain, and we can't take any chances.
so the prosthesis must come out first thing tomorrow. Now, there is a chance that the prosthesis might have moved, so Danny must lie very still.
And he must not use those glasses anymore.
At the Crimson Elephant, Lisa notices the TV report.
Lisa, the bats are going to be here any minute. Lisa, Lisa.
She keeps her focus on the TV. On screen, Danny collapses. At home, Danny's father enters his son's dark bedroom and turns on the light. Danny lies on top of his bedspread, his hands folded on his chest. His father steps closer.
Danny, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Hiking up his pants, his father sits on the bed's edge and leans an arm over Danny's legs.
Got another headache?
I don't know if it's another one or the same one that hasn't gone away.
It's more than just a headache or the operation, isn't it? It's a girl.
A little smile briefly crosses Danny's lips.
I thought I'd be so busy seeing the world, you know, that I'd forget about her. I just can't get her out of my mind, Pop.
Tu sol comandi amor. That's what Mimi sings in La Bohème. Love, only you alone guide us. I guess you just gotta give it some time.
How much time?
Don't ask me. I only ever loved your mother. I would have waited 1,000 years for her.
At the Crimson Elephant, Lisa and Arvin's families toast.
To the family.
Cheers. Mr. Bott sets down his champagne flute and presents a small tray to his son. As Arvin stands, he plucks a red ring box from a nest of fresh flowers. Across the table from him, Lisa stands too. Arvin opens the box, revealing a large diamond ring. Lisa's mother watches the young Indian man slide the ring onto her daughter's slender finger.
The pets.
Lisa gives him a tight-lipped smile. Meanwhile, Danny feels around his desktop. He picks up the glasses and the battery pouch. Wearing a determined expression, he turns away. Now he steps down the driveway using his cane. Reaching the sidewalk, he takes a few steps to his right and pulls out a phone. Frowning, Danny pockets the phone and heads off down the sidewalk in the opposite direction. At the Crimson Elephant, Lisa hurries to a phone behind a beaded curtain. Holding the receiver to her ear, she gazes at the engagement ring on her finger.
Dr. Perkins, this is Lisa.
Now, on a city sidewalk, Danny walks alone, steadily moving his cane side to side. He moves closer to the curb where a driver opens a bus's door. A passenger gets off.
Hey, when does the next bus to North Central come?
You're looking at it.
Danny boards, and the bus pulls away. Inside, he sits near the door, his eyes closed and his chin tucked toward his chest. His eyes squeeze tight, then open wide. Back at the restaurant, Lisa returns to the table in her aqua blue sari. She takes a seat between her parents and faces her future in-laws.
I'm sorry. I had some bad news about a friend.
Well, we mustn't let that stop the festivities. To wonderful food and beautiful people.
Lisa reluctantly raises her champagne and forces a smile. Her parents notice her gloomy expression. Arvin's smile fades. Meanwhile, the bus arrives at a terminal and pulls to a stop under an overhang. The driver glances over his shoulder toward Danny.
Buddy, here we are. Welcome to downtown North Central.
Do you know where the Crimson Elephant is?
I've never heard of it. What street's it?
Wall Street.
All right, just go right through this courtyard right over here at about 1 o'clock. Straight through there, you'll run right into it.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck. Bunch of stuff.
With his cane extended, Danny carefully steps off the bus. He stops a few feet away and takes the wire glasses from his pocket. He slides them on and powers up the device at his waist. As a small blue light glows behind the lens with a camera, Danny winces. Relaxing his face, he continues on. In his black and white view, three shadows move over a sidewalk's wet cement. Three teenage girls look Danny over as they pass. He sees an image of an old man walking with a younger one and a bright flash of a tree. As Danny moves on, he sees a flash of a large round planter and taps it with his cane. A few running teenagers come up behind him and knock him over as they pass.
No, bitch.
His Kane lands several feet away, and his glasses hang off his ears. Danny gropes around, inadvertently touching a homeless man lying on a bench.
What's the matter with you, kid?
Sorry. Sorry to see you.
I'm trying to sleep. Get the hell out of here.
Please, do you know where the Crimson Elephant is?
Something's got to be wrong with you, kid. It's right across the street.
Danny puts the glasses back on. Half of one lens is missing. He gets up and walks to the curb of a wide, busy street. As he steps off, an ambulance speeds past. Danny squeezes his eyes shut. He sees a brief flash of static. Walking slowly with his arms stretched out in front of him, he continues across the street. As a car speeds past, he grabs his head and drops to his knees. He sees a staticky black and white image of the neon crimson elephant sign. Now, on his feet again, he nearly gets hit by an SUV. Danny makes it to the other side and trips over the curb. He pushes himself to his feet and heads for the restaurant, using the staticky image as his guide. Inside, Lisa nods politely at the conversation. Arvin reaches across the table for her hand. Danny enters and grimaces painfully. A concerned waiter takes his arm.
Is this the Crimson Elephant?
Yes.
Is Lisa here?
She's back there.
Danny drops again. A seated patron catches him and helps him to his feet. Lisa's father approaches.
Can I help you?
I need to see Lisa.
Danny?
Do you know this man?
McConaughey.
As Mr. Bott glares, Lisa goes to Danny.
Danny, you're not supposed to be here.
I had to see you. It's my last chance to see you. But
he takes off the glasses.
It's no good. They're not working anyway.
He cups her face in his hands.
And it doesn't matter because
Arvin and Mr. Bott glare.
I've already seen you. I've seen your face. I've seen your eyes. I've seen your lips and your hair. I've seen everything, and you are beautiful.
This is not good.
Shh.
Lisa's family watches attentively.
You remember when you tried to tell me what your family thought about love? Well, let me tell you what I think love is. Love is how you speak to me. You have a softness in your voice that love is how you touch me, guide me, showing me the way to go. And when we kiss, it moves me to my soul.
Lisa's big brown eyes brim with tears, and she pulls Danny into a passionate kiss. Arvin storms out, followed by his father and mother. Lisa's father watches the kissing couple with a wistful smile. Danny winces and falls to the floor.
Danny! Danny! Dad!
Now, as an ambulance takes off down the street, Lisa sits inside with Danny, stroking his hair. He wears an oxygen mask, and his eyes blink groggily. At the hospital, Dr. Perkins faces Danny's family.
It's coming out right now. Right now.
He gives a comforting pat to Danny's mom, then hurries off. Danny's mother pulls Marie close, and they step over to a waiting area. Danny's father follows. Larry watches them walk past Lisa, who stands alone, still in her sari.
Hi.
As he smiles at her, she stares back, tearful and wide-eyed.
I'm Danny's brother.
Hi.
Her lips tremble, and tears glisten in her eyes. Larry takes a step closer.
You know, I'd love it if you'd come meet my family.
Meeting Larry's sincere gaze, Lisa takes a shaky breath.
Is that okay?
She nods. Larry gently puts a hand on her shoulder and guides her to the waiting area.
Guys, this is Lisa. She's Danny's friend. This is my mother, Lucia. My father, Angelo, and my kid sister, Marie.
Danny's mother takes Lisa's hand in hers, then pulls her into a tearful hug. Angelo rests one hand on his wife's shoulder and the other on Lisa's wrist. Now, Danny sleeps in a hospital bed hooked up to monitors. A bandage covers one side of his head as Dr. Evans watches from the doorway. Lisa, Jay, and the Valdeseckis approach. Danny shifts under the covers.
Freddy Bassani.
They all rush to his bedside.
Anna Valdana.
What's that, Danny?
Pepe Nova.
Who are these people, Danny?
Kids in my first grade class.
Well, why are you calling out their names?
Just checking my childhood memories.
Morning, asshole.
Hey, stop talking like that.
Morning, ugly.
We're not like this all the time.
Is Lisa here?
I'm right here, Danny.
She is so beautiful.
She's wearing a curtain.
Later, outside, Danny sits alone with Lisa.
So I just want to tell you that I'm sorry about what I said the other day, you know, about you choosing the other guy because I'm blind. I mean, that came out at a total moment where you know, I'm also sorry that you split up with him and that you'll probably never see him again. I'm not all that.
Stop apologizing.
Danny leans his face close to Lisa's.
Are you crying, Jasmine?
He gently kisses her.
So like I said, things are going pretty well for me. And Lisa and I are finding out about each other and our different cultures, and so are our families.
Now, at the Crimson Elephant, Danny dances with Lisa, who wears a fuchsia pink sari. Later, Lisa gives Jay a welcoming hug. At a table, Danny's mother talks with one of Lisa's relatives. A golden lab guide dog in a harness lies by a table, where Danny and Lisa hold hands. Dr. Perkins and some kids wear clown noses. At a table, Larry shows Susie a book on the Kama Sutra.
You think you could do that?
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Ravi faces Marie.
More like a lily pad in the sunshine.
Jay checks out the book.
Hey, Larry, Susie, what's going on?
We're looking at Kama Sutra.
Jay, these Indians, they know how to party, man.
Get real.
As Marie walks away, shaking her head, Ravi watches after her adoringly. On the dance floor, Danny shimmies side to side. Danny's mom dances with Jay. Dr. Perkins tangos with Dr. Evans, who wears her hair down in thick curls. Watching them, Lisa gapes happily. Now, Dr. Evans sensually wraps her leg around Perkins' waist and he dips her. As Angelo stares at them, his wife yanks him by his mustache to face her. Later, Danny holds a small gift bag.
In my life, I've always needed the help of dear friends and dear family. My brother Larry has been both. He's been my best friend and my brother. Well, just as a token of everything he's done for me over the years, I want to give him this.
Larry takes the gift and hugs his brother.
Thank you. Love you, bro.
I love you, too.
Larry reaches into the bag.
Doesn't look like a new limousine.
He lifts his hand out, covered in chunky yellow-green goo. Danny's guide dog cocks its head. Lisa's female relatives cover their noses. Larry retches and heaves.
All right, dancing party, everybody. Come on!
Now, Ravi rhythmically juts his hands to one side, then the other. Larry copies his movements. Danny twirls Lisa under his arm. Susie and Larry shimmy their chests. As Lisa dances at the center of a ring of girls, Jay and Mrs. Valdesecchi dance. Lisa's father happily bobs to the music. Larry and Susie face each other, jutting their heads in opposite directions. Danny's mom walks like an Egyptian. Now, Lisa sways with her back to Danny's chest, then turns to face him. Dr. Perkins sweeps Dr. Evans into a passionate kiss. Larry and Susie lock lips and hungrily grope each other. Danny and Lisa meet in a tender, lingering kiss. Lisa's hand drifts up to his collar.
So I managed the all-time world record of going blind twice in one lifetime. But come on, I got the girl.
Their lips gently part, fade to black. Now, as a train speeds down a track, Danny laughs in front of the controls. Larry hangs out the window. Credits, directed by James Keach, written by Christopher Theo, produced by Costa Theo, James Keach, produced by Joy Mellons, Dave Shanks, executive producers Jane Seymour, Stephen Bickle, line producer Nicholas Hipsley Cox, director of photography Julio Macat ASC, production designer Eric Weiler, editor Larry Bach, Chris Pine, Eddie K. Thomas, and Jaylee J., Jane Seymour, Stephen Tobolowski, Katie Mixon, Jenny Alden, Jema Mays, Pooch Hall, Sendil Ramamurthy, Iqbal Theba, costume designer Sherry Ingle, composer Hyder Pereira, music supervisor Liz Gallagher, casting by Lisa Beach, CSA, and Sarah Katzman, CSA, LA, Kate Planton, UK, Kate Bragastis, CSA, Utah, Milkaus Films in association with Catfish Productions, a James Keach film. Production manager, Don Hauer. first assistant director, Nicholas Hipsley Cox, second assistant director, Mitchell Bach, associate producers, Roger Carey, Deborah Pearl, Christopher Theo, Costa John Theo, post-production supervisor, Robert Hackle, additional editor, Axel Hubert, ACE, technical advisor, Tom Sullivan, assistant to James Keach, Richard Keith, assistant to producers London, Maria Mellons, Sheena Irving, cast in order of appearance, Chris Pine as Danny, Stephen Wellington as young Danny, Frank Garish as Angelo, Dee Macaluso as Lucia, Austin Rogers as young Larry, Ashlyn Yates as young Marie, Megan Umberger as girl in Park Number 1, Olivia Garvey as girl in Park Number 2, Gabriella Hemstetler as girl in Park Number 3, John Keach as boy in Park Number 1, Chris Keach as boy in Park Number 2, Jenny Flynn as kid's mom, Susan Dolan as Mrs. Luciano, Bob Condor as Mr. Luciano, Sean Hammond as dumbass friend number 1, Jake McKenzie as dumbass friend number 2, Jane Seymour as Dr. Evans, Alea Hansen as teenage girl number 1, Melissa Hildebrandt as teenage girl number 2, Amelia Pragastis as Marie, Eddie K. Thomas as Larry, Pooch Hall as Jay, Terrence M. Edwards as basketball guy number 1, Chad Martineau as basketball guy number 2, and Jali J. as Lisa, Sydney Bargeron as toddler number 1, Stephen Tobolowski as Dr. Perkins, Sethia Jessudasan as Mrs. Raja, Dharmenda Verma as Ravi, Uma Mason as Aunt Sadie, Harinder Bacchus as Granny, Senhil Ramamurthy as Arvin, Iqbal Thiba as Mr. Raja, Asi Mair as Mr. Bot, Zara Truki as Mrs. Bot, Dustin Seiler as student, Katie Mixon as Susie, Larry Zhang as Susie's client, Jema Mays as Mandy, Costa Milton as Pietro, Judith Benesra as Heidi, Clarissa Lassig as Emma, Frank Avila as bodybuilder, Katie Flynn as Dolores, Jody Russell as Mrs. Van, Jenny Alden as Jasmine, Trenton James as Andre, Michael M. Tirada as restaurant patron, Kendall D. Probst as wine waiter, Alex Austin as mean man, Joey Miashma as Dr. Sado, James Jameson as TV reporter, Irene Santiago as TV journalist, Dwayne Stevens as bus driver, Jack North as homeless man, Manny Gagandeep as waiter, Bill McIntosh as restaurant patron number 2, stunt coordinator Bill McIntosh, stunt performers Chad Camilleri, Joe Finnegan, Randy Kenyon, Julie Minahan, Chris Nielsen, Anthony Schmidt, Casablanca score, written by Max Steiner, King of the Beats, performed by Mantronics, written by Mantronics and MCT, You and I, performed by Graham Coxon, written by Graham Coxon, From Rosholm with Love, performed by Mint Royale, written by Chris Baker, Neil Claxton, and John Henry Mayer. Chicken Payback, performed by The Bees, written by Paul Butler, Aaron Fletcher, Tim Parkin, Chris Birkin, Warren Hampshire, and Michael Clevitt. Coffee in the Pot, performed by Supergrass, written by Daniel Goffey, Gareth Coombs, Michael Quinn, and Robert Coombs. Estranged, performed by The Bells, written by Christopher Toll. Just a Ride, performed by Jem, written by Howard Blake, Jem Griffiths, and Mike Caron. Mossum, performed by Nitin Sawhney. Lead vocals by Rena Bardwaj, written by Nitin Sawhney and Rena Bardwaj. Waiting Angels, performed by Greenspace, written by Hazel Wild, Paul Gregory, Edward Smith, and Old Ketteringham. Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Baby, performed by Barry White, written by Barry White. Copyright 2006, Theta Film Holdings, LTD, and Blind Guy Films, LLC. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from 20th Century Fox, described by Cato Toole, Rebecca Peterson, Dutch Priest, Thea Warren Lane and Carrie Canning, read by Kim I. Guest. For more about description, call DVS at 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at access.wgbh.org.